Afghanistan faces its worst ever hunger crisis. Millions of starving families can't afford to buy food. The Taliban wants the U.S. to release Afghan foreign cash reserves. But will that be enough to prevent disaster? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. Millions of Afghans are on the verge of starving to death. The UN's World Food Program says 8 out of every 9 families are going hungry. The lack of food is the result of Afghanistan's economic crisis. It's becoming ever more serious because of the worldwide isolation of the Taliban, now in control of the central government in Kabul. International donors and foreign banks are refusing to send money to Afghanistan, fearing sanctions from Western governments. Afghans can't access their savings to buy food and fuel. And the price of staple items such as flour have risen 50% in the past 6 months.
All that is coming together into an absolute tsunami of hunger that's just sweeping across the country and probably is, despite, you know, what, 5 decades of war, it's probably it is the worst crisis Afghanistan has ever faced.
The Afghani currency has devalued 25% against the U.S. dollar since the Taliban takeover last August. The United States and Western donors cut funding, which made up 80% of the Afghan government's budget. They also barred the Taliban from $9 billion in foreign cash reserves. Last month, 46 U.S. politicians, mostly Democrats, urged President Joe Biden to release those funds and ease economic sanctions against Taliban leaders. The UN estimates 97% of Afghans could fall below the officially recognized poverty line this year. Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the world is running out of time to prevent disaster.
The United Nations is taking steps to inject cash into the economy through creative, authorized arrangements. But it is a drop in the bucket. Jump-starting the banking system is essential to avoid economic collapse and to enable humanitarian operations. The function of Afghanistan's central bank must be preserved and assisted, and the path identified for conditional release of Afghan foreign currency reserves.
We don't lack human resources. We need economic cooperation for the Afghan people. We need to establish good diplomatic relations with other countries. And we also need humanitarian assistance because the Afghan people are poor and they need help.
All right, let's bring in our guests in Kala Enau in Western Afghanistan, Christian Jepsen, Regional Communications Advisor at the Norwegian Refugee Council. In Islamabad, Simbal Khan, peace and security consultant at UNDP Pakistan. And in Milan, Harun Rahimi, assistant professor of law at American University of Afghanistan and visiting professor at Universita Bocconi. Welcome to the program and thanks so much for being with us today on Inside Story. Simbal, let me start with you today. Just how bad is the economic crisis in Afghanistan right now and how much of an impact is it having on these dire humanitarian crises that are unfolding?
I think, as we've just heard before, Mohammed, it is one of the worst crises. Although, you know, last 40 years, we've talked incessantly about the endless crisis in Afghanistan, whether there was the Soviet invasion and then, of course, the war on terror last 20 years. But I think the kind of famine that, especially during this winter, this really brutal winter that the Afghans are facing right now is unprecedented. The conditions that have been created with the Taliban takeover and the withdrawal of U.S. Troops from Afghanistan are completely unprecedented. And the global community, the Afghans themselves, are trying to grapple with the shock of the situation. The economic crisis, I think, as far as what we can see here, is completely linked with the liquidity crisis and the sanction regime that the Taliban government is facing and the Taliban organization was facing. There are various issues. Of course, the humanitarian sector and the UN is trying to bypass these sanctions and kind of continue humanitarian support. We've seen some really high pledges that have come for the next 6 months to a year for the humanitarian sector. But with the sanctions in place, the way we are seeing them, it is totally debilitating the humanitarian assistance, as we heard the Secretary General just say that it's a drop in a bucket. To imagine that the humanitarian sector, UN agencies and other humanitarian organizations can reach the majority of 23 million Afghans, which are in dire need of famine as well as food insecurity, in the next 3 months without engaging the public sector ministries, which are now controlled by the Taliban, or the government in place, it's an impossible task. This can't be done in not just in Afghanistan, this can't be done anywhere, whether it's in South Asia or whether it's in African countries. It's impossible for the humanitarian sector to access the majority of the people which are vulnerable right now.
Haroon, right now in Afghanistan, it is the entire financial sector that is on the verge of utter collapse. Is that right?
That is correct. Taliban took over Afghanistan central bank in August of 2021. Since Taliban were a sanctioned group, and now they're in charge of the central bank, which is in charge of the whole banking sector, those sanctions have meant that the entire banking sector in Afghanistan is now blacklisted, in effect. There have been attempts to provide exemptions to the sanction regimes to allow the aid to flow into the country in a limited fashion. But those efforts have been, although they are welcome, they have been very limited because many banks still have worries, many international banks still have worries about dealing with Afghan entities out of fear of possible liability that may come from the U.S. sanctions. I think the headline here is that aid is not enough. 40 million people need a functioning economy. And that economy, which was heavily dollarized over the past 20 years, cannot survive if its financial system, if its monetary system is completely cut off from the international system, if it cannot access the foreign currency it needs. You also have to keep in mind that Afghanistan imports most of what it consumes. So most people, most of the economy is reliant on import. And it's practically impossible for the people to be able to consume, to buy what they need, if there is really no way for the country to earn foreign currency. And as you pointed out, the currency that the foreign reserve of the country currently hold are completely blocked. So without serious conversations about how the sanctions can be lifted for the financial system to survive, how the foreign currency can get to the economy so the Afghan currency can stabilize and people and the merchants and traders can import what people need to consume, there's really not major changes that can happen through aid alone.
Christian, I'd like to ask you to explain to our audience just how these sanctions are hampering aid efforts. How much more difficult has your job gotten? Has the jobs of so many other aid workers in Afghanistan gotten because of the sanctions?
As we just have heard, the humanitarian situation is extremely challenging right now. We have an economy in complete free fall. People are losing their jobs and they are hungry. So we are dealing with the most vulnerable internally displaced people. And I've just met some of them today here in Western Afghanistan. And they literally have nothing to eat. I hear stories where they distract their children to have them forget that the food is not coming. I've heard about people who got a little bit of wheat flour that they mixed up with water and served for their children. The situation is extremely challenging, and we are simply not able to get the money into the country that we need to carry out our humanitarian operations. Just as an example, I have a colleague who lives in Denmark, and she is working here as an emergency specialist. She wanted to take out some cash dollars from Denmark to use for her own personal use here in Afghanistan. But when the bank asked, and she was honest and said she was going to Afghanistan, they were refusing to give her any cash dollars out of fear that they would violate the sanctions. She's here to save lives, and she couldn't get the cash dollars she needed here in Afghanistan. She will be absolutely fine. She's doing her job here, no problem. The problem is for the Afghans. There are millions of people are suffering here. And we are simply, the money that is not getting into the system means we cannot do our job here.
Simbal, what would the Taliban need to do in order for the U.S. and the U.S.'s Western allies to have the confidence to free up these foreign reserves? What would the Taliban need to do in order to show these countries that they can be trusted?
Of course, I think there are plenty of steps, but let me just kind of like spin the argument. I think the time to think about the conditionalities of what the Taliban, the next step that they can take to ease the international community and support, I think the time for that kind of conversation was in the first 2 months. We had several of those rounds and a lot of the benchmarks, and both the sides have been saying that not enough has been done. And that, I mean, we can have a big discussion on what the Taliban can do or cannot do. But right now, when we talk about the dire situation, especially the next 2-3 months in Afghanistan, this conversation has to shift. We have to focus beyond the Taliban to the people of Afghanistan. And as I think my other colleagues here in today, your program, and others who have talked about it, the conversation has to shift immediately to humanitarian support. And humanitarian support, when we talk about humanitarian support from people who are threatened for their life and existence, these political discussions about rights and women's rights and human rights, which are, of course, very important subjects, and the Taliban should be engaged, and, of course, there should be future discussions on what they need to do. But we have to move beyond that right now. People's lives have to be saved. Enough Afghans have lost their lives in the last 20 years or 40 years. I think they are needless deaths that we are facing and needless trauma that we are facing in the next 3 months. I think we need to focus on that and shift that conversation, whether the Taliban must be engaged on returning women to schools and girls to schools and colleges, on rights, on freedom of speech. These are conversations and engagement that should continue and will be, I think, something that the global community will and should continue with the Taliban regime. But the conversation has to move beyond that, because those lines of inclusive governments, those red lines and those next steps are also not very clear. We've dealt with the Taliban, we've talked to the regime, I've had occasion to discuss it with the foreign minister, acting foreign minister. It is not very clear to the Taliban also what's demanded for them. But I think the situation is so dire, we need to move beyond this conversation right now.
Haroon, if the exemptions to the sanctions aren't working the way that they should be, and if aid still isn't able to filter through the country the way that it should be, are there other mechanisms that could be set up, whether or not sanctions are ultimately lifted? Are there other mechanisms that could be set up that would help? And could you envision what some of those might be?
So there have been many creative ways, quote unquote, that have been tried. There were currency swaps that took place prior to the exemptions, where people who had Afghanis inside the country and had dollars in need outside the country, merchants and such, were entering into swaps with the aid delivery institutions who needed the Afghani inside the country, and he had USD outside the country, in a way trying to bypass the whole financial system and use swaps. Those obviously helped a little, and they could not do much. There were also other alternatives envisioned that Afghanistan merchants could engage in barter trade instead of using the financial sector with neighboring countries or even beyond that. I mean, there are, quote-unquote, creative ways that are being tried, but the scale of the crisis is such that no workaround would be enough to meet the challenge. It is simply not possible to come up with these small fixes, workarounds, to meet this challenge. There is a serious need for major steps to be taken to make sure that the aid funds can reach Afghanistan. That's number one. That should be the baseline. But also for the economy to be able to resume, for merchants and traders to be able to import and export goods into the country, for jobs to return to Afghanistan, even in limited form they were. I mean, let's be clear. Afghanistan has been a poor country for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Even before Taliban takeover, it was 70% of the population was living below poverty. For long, most people have lived below poverty line. This is completely, it is the prospect of universal poverty and serious risk of hunger to millions of people. at this point to be debating issues such as like the what should be the threshold for the Taliban to reach before a serious conversation should be had about easing some of the restrictions to avoid the worst case scenario. I agree. They seem to be just wish we should not be there yet. We should not be there still. Mm-hmm. We should really be past that point. There are things to be said about the management of the central bank. There are things that we said about the integrity of the funds that may be released. Those are things that have to be negotiated. But I think we really need to be thinking about actions, concrete actions, and focus on how things can be done instead of bundling all the vexing political issues together with the dire economic and humanitarian crisis that is happening in the country.
Christian, even with these exemptions to the sanctions in place, is there any more clarity on where money can go in Afghanistan when it comes to aid? I mean, is that one of the biggest challenges that there is right now?
So the exemptions means that in principle, we can carry out humanitarian work and get the funding into the country. But in practical terms, there's no funding coming in. We're trying all sorts of different channels to get just a little bit of funding in, but in truth, it's not coming. I mean, we have funds to operate for a few more weeks, and then we are actually not sure what to do. We're waiting for the international community, for UN. We know they're all working on solutions, but it's not going fast enough, simply. So a lot of people are very scared of violating these sanctions, so they're all cautious. But the humanitarian situation here in Afghanistan is so bad that so many people can be in a life-threatening situation very, very soon. And so we cannot wait for any longer for the international community to find a solution. The time is now.
Simbel, I couldn't get to you before, and it looked like you wanted to jump in, so please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to jump in on, you were asking about the practical things that can happen immediately, and Haroon has made some really good points here. But what I'd like to add, something practically that can be done, the U.S. Treasury has talked about exemptions to banks and others, and there is some kind of a letter that they issue. That clarity has to be stronger right now. That exemption or any kind of a certification that commercial banks, they're talking about larger entities as well as UN agencies. Beyond that, beyond the World Bank and others, there has to be some performer, some kind of a clarity on the exemption that commercial banks, which are even smaller commercial banks, can get, which will allow common traders, which are involved in import and export of things, to happen normally. Because that, I think, one thing which will try to clear this block about importing, especially as others have mentioned, Afghanistan imports more than it exports. I mean, huge quantities, more imports than very small exports. So that will be the way, because there is food enough within the regional countries, there is energy enough within the whole setup is there in South Central Asia region, in which Afghanistan is placed. Pakistani-Afghan border, Iran-Afghan border, even in Tajik and Uzbek borders, there is enough availability of whether it's energy supplies or whether it's food supplies to come into the market. It is basically the banking sector, which is the sanctions on that. But those exemptions that the U.S. Treasury has given, that can be clarified, made more stronger, made more transparent, and banks can apply for that so that liquidity, cash liquidity in the market can end completely. And some direct aid and support to the main public sector ministries which control agriculture, food, energy, and other key public sector ministries in Afghanistan right now is a must.
Haroon, it's been months since the Taliban took over the country. Isn't international recognition of the Taliban inevitable at this stage? I mean, first of all, is there any other viable alternative? And secondly, how useful would international recognition be for the economy in Afghanistan?
So I really don't know if it's going to be inevitable or not. For the recognition to happen, obviously, first of all, the Taliban as a group has to be de-sanctioned as a terrorist group. I mean, no country would recognize them as long as they are a recognized terrorist group. It is possible to distinguish between Taliban as a government and Taliban as a group. Maybe legally that could be case that some countries could make to move ahead with recognition in spite of the UN sanctions. Yeah, you have to keep in mind, it's not that just the US sanctions, they are sanctions imposed by United Nations Security Council that are still in place. So it seems like there's a long way before we can talk of recognition. But I would like to echo what one of the other panels said, that there is really no clarity on what is what kind of what are the conditions that need to be met, what are the thresholds that Taliban need to meet before there will be a path towards recognition. Different countries have their own interests. They have been talking with Taliban. Engagement has been high. But in terms of formal recognition, I really don't, I personally don't know what the threshold is. There are some ideal statements made that could be kind of the long-term goals, but in terms of what concrete actions Taliban need to take to reach a threshold that would allow for them to be recognized as a government, I really don't know if those conditions are articulated. They're not made public. If they are articulated in private to the Taliban, I don't know. And my sense is that there's really no consensus inside the international community, even inside regional actors, as to what that threshold would be, what those conditions would be. The result is that there's a lot of ambiguity, there's a lot of confusion on all sides that is preventing the conversation to move forward. We could have this conversation we had today kind of a month ago and would be saying the same points more or less. It seems like there's really no breakthrough, and some of it is just political will. I think the domestic politics of some countries just stop them from doing serious work here. They want to appear to be trying to do work to maybe ease humanitarian situation, but like going at the root of the problems and basically handling the better hard conversations about, okay, now that the Taliban are in the control of country, what happens to the Afghan economy, what happens to the Afghanistan population. I think many governments just see that as politically too kind of sensitive or impractical to deal with, given their own domestic politics. You have to also realize that the COVID-19 is happening. Many countries just don't have the bandwidth to Afghanistan. They have their own hands full with their own countries. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say one more thing about this aid conversation. UN is asking for billions of dollars to just meet the basic needs of Afghan. And it is just 1 year project. They are raising this for often 2 or 3 months or up to 1 year. Mm-hmm. A country cannot really be sustained in a 1 year kind of increments of aid being raised. There's no long-term horizon here. Also, we will be here next year if those fundamental issues are not solved. We're going to be here next year. The world is full of humanitarian crisis, and they are rising.
Haroon, I'm sorry to interrupt, We are starting to run out of time. Christian, let me ask you, we just have a couple of minutes left. I mean, Haroon was talking about this appeal for billions of dollars the UN is making, you know, for Afghanistan. It was just a few days ago that UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned that millions of Afghans are on the verge of death. He urged the international community to release Afghanistan's frozen assets, to jumpstart its banking system, to avert economic and social collapse. Is your fear right now, as somebody who's working so hard to try to improve the situation there, you and your colleagues, is the fear right now that, you know, the Secretary General's words are falling on deaf ears?
It's obviously extremely frustrating to be here in Afghanistan and day after day meet people on the verge of existence. I've met over the past few days people that are skipping meals day after day. They are struggling here in Western Afghanistan. They are struggling with the water quality. The water they can pump up is saltine, so they cannot drink it, and they cannot afford to buy drinking water. So, yeah, I mean, the situation is extremely frustrating, obviously for us, but extremely much more for the people who suffers. With these sanctions, there's no doubt that the people of Afghanistan that are kind of caught in the middle, they're paying the price for this these sanctions. And that's a huge concern. And the money that was in the appeal, mm-hmm. it's a lot of money, but in the current situation, this will only last for a few months to save lives. The real problem and is that the economy is in free fall. We need to restart the economy.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Christian Jepson, Simbel Khan, and Haroon Rahimi. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here, bye for now.